Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
The end is near. The end is near. I feel like I need like a big gong or like a big bell that I can ring or something. No, don't worry. I'm just talking about the end of Montana's legislative session. We are quickly approaching the 90-day mark, but sounds like a deadline is forcing some decisions. It sounds like a deadline is forcing some agreement when it comes to property tax relief and more. Let's jump right into it. We've got Montana Senate President Matt Regeer out of Kalispell kicking off our legislative update here with us on Montana Talks. Mr. President, good to have you back on the show.
Hey, good morning, Aaron, and good morning, Montana. Yeah, I don't think you need a gong. I think you can just hear us screaming from the building here. Let us out.
It's like a Monty Python movie in there. Good night. It's like, the swords have been out.
No, and I say that just jovially. We still got a little bit of work to do here yet. Probably about another week, maybe the beginning of next week here, we can put a bow on it and head home.
Well, let's start with the good news, income tax relief. You know, say what you want about property tax relief, but income tax relief, we get to keep more of our own money, and the cities and the counties don't get to put their grubby little paws on that. Across the board, income tax relief going to the governor's desk.
Yeah, exactly. More money left in the pockets of Montanans and left the state government, and that's a big thing a lot of us came here for, myself especially. And House Bill 337 is on the way to the governor's desk. Fully expect him to sign that. It really gives gives everybody a break. It raises the top down some, but it also really hits the middle class in a good way. It really provides a lot of relief for them. It's if you're single, filing up to about $50,000, like $47,000, your rates even drop below 4.7%, so all the way down from 5.9%. So a big jump percentage wise in income tax relief for a lot of Montanans.
Yeah, because now a lot of Montanans, right now, if you make around $20,000 a year, you are pushed into that upper income tax bracket. Now, that upper bracket will be lowered as well, which is good news. But then on top of that, a lot of, probably most Montanans will be pushed into the lower bracket that's going to be lowered even further.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, it's the middle class is really, I mean, everybody's going to feel it, but the middle class for sure. Is going to get that relief. And you're going to have a few people here paying taxes here in April that have emailed or called and said, hey, income taxes have jumped, and so hopefully we can mitigate that here coming up next year with this. It's $270 million, I want to say, a year that Montana is here keeping and the government's not getting. So it's a great bill. Delivering on that.
Yeah. And then, of course, the one that everybody's been screaming about, property tax relief. It looked a little concerning there for a while that nothing was going to be done, that there was going to be no agreement when it comes to property tax relief. I just spoke with Speaker of the House Brandon Lear yesterday morning. He says he thinks some sort of a hybrid plan is now in the works. We'll start there with Senate President Matt Regeer right after this.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
A hybrid plan on property tax relief. That's what I heard from Speaker of the House Brandon Lear out of Savage yesterday. Senate President Matt Regeer, what are you hearing? What are you thinking? What are you hoping that the legislature is steering towards?
Yeah, I guess before we get into the what's come, and we'll talk real quick on what's already been done here. We got Senate Bill 117, which is a great bill on property tax. And it's already heading to the governor's desk. Yeah, he might have even already signed it, but I'm fully expecting that he will. And the concept of that is with newly taxable. All these, especially I'm up in Kalispell, and we have a lot of new building going on, and I'm wondering why. Why did we need to run a fire safety levy? I talked with my firefighter friends, and they said, well, we need a fire safety levy to get more firefighters. And it's like, why doesn't every new neighborhood have, you know, one-tenth of a firefighter that you get? And so that newly taxable, instead of getting eaten up in local spending, it needs to go to lower everybody else's property tax. And that's what Senate Bill 117 did, and it's already going. So that's, I think, a big piece of the puzzle in the future as we roll out newly taxable, and it's going to change people's values in the future.
Yeah, that sounds like a great bill. That sounds like, because you see the building. If you live in places like Billings, Kalispell, Missoula, Bozeman, say, you see the building all around you. What does that mean? That means more people are paying taxes. More people are putting money into the pot. So why do you have to take more money from the rest of us, right? Dedicate that money to whatever you think you need. Yeah, it's just common sense.
Yeah, exactly. And but that'll take a few years for that to feel and to kind of mitigate the peaks and valleys there of property taxes. But it is a big piece of the puzzle, and it's something that's transforming the system. So I think that one is great. Now onto what we still have to go, and I probably have a little different take, and conservative Republicans in the Senate have a little different take, too. Once you start playing with the rates, the property tax rates, you're going to start picking winners and losers. And we have gone round and round this whole session of who's going to lose, how much, who's going to win, and how much. And that, so that hybrid that's coming maybe does lessen it a little bit. There's House Bill 231, which is the Homestead-Comstead that just barely passed the Senate floor. It died once, and they brought it back to life, and then just barely passed. And that's really going to be a problem for ag community. It's going to raise taxes on ag community. It's going to... If you have a family cabin or outbuildings or something that's not your primary residence, you don't qualify for this. DOR's own numbers, it's going to raise statewide 67% on those type of real estate buildings. So it just kind of shifts stuff around, which I'm not too excited about. I think there's going to be some blowback for that, and rightfully so if you're the one getting shifted to.
See, that's what I struggle to follow here, too, is, okay, the state is sitting on a massive budget surplus. They're taking too much of our money. Residents need property tax relief. Everybody needs property tax relief. So because it seemed like everybody was in agreement that we need some version of a homestead property tax exemption. But I guess my question is kind of in line with yours, which is, like, why do we have to raise anybody's taxes just to provide residential property tax relief? Just give the residential property tax relief without raising anybody else's property taxes, because you're sitting on a budget surplus. And I know there's talk of rebates, but yeah, the rebate should be done to provide for the hit that we're already taking. But still, structural reform needs to take place as well, right?
Yeah, and permanent ongoing. You're absolutely right. And I get what they're doing with the homestead concept. What they're trying to do is hit the out-of-staters that come and use Montana as a playground for their second home. And but the net is too wide. It's going to catch a lot of Montanans too. Like, I mean, egg community, how many eggs are our number one business? And even though the rate stays the same, the values are going to switch, and egg is going to see a higher tax rate. I think absolutely right. We had another plan, so to just take tourist dollars and leave everybody's rates the same and take tourist dollars and just help them out with the primary residence. But that has been tabled in the House. So, and it looks like it's probably not coming back unless a miracle happens. But,
my thought on the take half of the tourist dollars and plow it into property tax relief. Yeah, throw that one on there too. I guess why are we saying, well, we want this relief over here, but we don't want that relief over there. Throw that one into the mix as well. It's tourist dollars. Give it back to the people that actually have to pay for this infrastructure.
And like you said, the tourist dollars should not be going to, no matter what we do with property tax, the tourist dollars should not be going to the state general fund. They should be back in the community where they're putting all the footprint on. They're using our roads, our sewers, our police. Their dollars should stay in those communities to help pay for that stuff.
Yeah, well said. What else is happening here in the final days of the legislative session, or what else do you hope to see?
Well, real quick, I just want to touch on the budget. We had passed House Bill 2, which is the entire budget, but we have a lot of cat and dog bills. We came into the session $500 million to the positive. We were taking in $500 million more than we needed to operate state government, and we've spent it all over twice. We're about $500 million underwater now. And we just, here's some examples of bills just off the floor this week, raising fees on DNRC, just on fire assessment. We raised fees on establishments, wholesale foods, We spent $75 million on school facilities, $5 million for swimming pools. I mean, it just keeps coming. And we really haven't said no to any spending. Unfortunately, conservatives are just outvoted this session. And it's going to be interesting. Hopefully the governor and his veto pen can right side this budget. But
that's right. That's what it may have to come down to.
That's
what it may have to come down to, because, yeah, I saw you fought valiantly to try to peel back all of these increased overspending attempts, and yet a handful of Republicans voted with the Democrats to keep spending more of our money. So at this point, like you say, hopefully the governor has a lot of ink in that veto pen. President Regeer, if you can, stand by with us for a couple more minutes, because I want to hear what else you're hoping to get across the finish line in the final days of the legislative session. So if you can stand by, we'll come back to you after this. And then we've got House Minority Whip Jonathan Carlin after that.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we do have House Minority Whip Representative Jonathan Carlin, Democrat out of Missoula, on the phone lines with us here. We'll get to him here in just a second as well. But since we were so short on time, we covered property taxes, income taxes, spending, and more. Definitely wanted to give Senate President Matt Regeer an opportunity to tell us what else is out there, what else is moving, what else is he hoping to get across the finish line before we run out of legislative session days. Mr. President, go ahead. Thanks for sticking around.
Yeah, just real quick, some highlights here that looking to hit the desk. MEPA reform, if you remember the health decision, the atrocious decision here in Montana, we've got four different bills that are going to help out the business community and not stop development. I think that held was kind of meant to stop development and stop business. And so we have four pieces of legislation that's going to keep that moving. So that's real exciting, I think, for people in Montana to mitigate that. We've got Senator Zolnikoff has a bill on the marijuana revenue to divert more of that to the law and order side, Department of Justice, kind of the effects of marijuana and getting some of that money back there. So bills like that, criminal prosecution, there's a few bills on that. If you remember criminal reinvestment, I believe it was back in 2017 that we did that decriminalized some of these petty things, and we're kind of unwinding some of that because we found out that law and order, you can't exempt, it was $1,000 for shoplifting and without consequences. Obviously, that's going to change people's behavior. So unwinding some of that. Prisons, we put money into prisons. We're short on prison beds. We just did that the other day. I believe that's a great investment for law and order.
I see the governor is planning an event, I think, holding a groundbreaking ceremony already in the Deer Lodge area coming up here in just a few days. All right, President Regeer, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Aaron.
All right, appreciate it. Yeah, and just a few days left. We'll see when they wrap up the legislative session. Maybe next week's update will be a wrap-up update or a continuation. We'll see. Democrat House Minority Whip Jonathan Carlin now with us out of Missoula. Representative Carlin, great to have you on the show. We started talking property taxes and property tax relief. Speaker Brandon Lear was telling me that he sees a hybrid plan kind of in the works, maybe a combination of a property tax rebate, a combination of Representative Thain's bill combined with House Bill 231, which is kind of this homestead exemption. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are you hoping for?
Yeah, Aaron, thanks for having me on. And I am really excited about property tax because I know when we've been talking recently, it felt like there hasn't been a lot of progress. And what we passed this week from the House, House Bill 542, I guess it still has one more vote before it's out of the House, but it's going to be meaningful long-term property tax relief, and it's a truly bipartisan solution. I know I'm not 100% happy, but I also know my friends on the other side of the aisle aren't 100% happy, and I think that means it's a pretty good bill.
I was going to say, with property tax, any changes to property tax, how do you get anything across the finish line without making somebody unhappy, right? I mean, it's tough because it's like with the budget surplus and with the property taxes being what they've been because of property values, I mean, me being the layman out here, why would we raise anybody's taxes? Everybody deserves relief. We should all get property tax relief. But it sounds like any plan that shakes out may involve an increase somewhere.
Yeah, you know, it'll involve an increase to some of the non-residential tax classes. But I think what's important for folks to remember is that, A, their increases will be modest, and B, they have not experienced the same inflation in their values that residential has had. So, you know, what I would say kind of is for a lot of those other classes, a worst case scenario, they might be paying the taxes they paid in 2022, which I think on both sides of the aisle, we can say is objectively fair. Now, second homeowners, so, you know, let's say you got somebody that lives out of state and they own a ski house in Big Sky, they're going to be paying more taxes. But I think, again, at least the way I feel, and I think a lot of my friends on the other side of the aisle would say, is that, you know, they're not paying income tax in this state, so it's fair for them to pay a little bit more. And in exchange, you know, we've got these great models that we've been using with the help of the Department of Revenue. And across the state, I mean, we're seeing 20 to 30% decreases in people's property taxes if we can get this bill fully, you know, out of the legislature and signed by the governor. So I would say it is meaningful tax relief. People are going to notice it.
Yeah, and then there's also talk of property tax rebates as well to help with the immediate short-term impacts of the property valuations, et cetera. Do you see Democrats jumping on board with the rebate idea as well?
So in the bill that – in House Bill 542, the one that Speaker Lear mentioned, the kind of combination of proposals, we have for the first year – so for this next year, a $400 credit, and that will be a credit on your tax bill. It's not going to be something you have to apply for, no check in the mail, and that's something that I voted for because that's just sort of a transitional. Basically, the broader reform, it's going to take a year for the Department of Revenue to implement. So what we've done in the first year is a $400 credit, plus we still have lower rates, but we're not able to lower them as much as we're going to lower them in the second year. So to help cover it, we put the extra $400 credit. And so without getting into the weeds, I totally supported it because it's just a transition.
Very interesting. So, you know, one of the concerns President Regeer mentioned was, hey, if somebody's got a family cabin, that technically counts as a second home, or agriculture. He said agriculture could be hit in this residential property tax plan. You see that as a modest increase that they might see there?
So here's what I'd say. If you've got a truly, you know, a humble cabin in the woods, you're probably not going to have a really high taxable value. And so if on your primary Montana residence, you're saving, let's just say 25%, let's say $1,000, for example, and then you're getting a small increase in your taxes on a modest cabin, I think you're still coming out ahead. I will say, and I think it's important to be honest with folks, now if you have a primary residence in Montana and you have a second home that you're not renting out and that has a high taxable value, then they might be seeing a tax increase. And I think that is one, you know, I realize that that's going to be a real bummer for folks. But I think if we're looking at the greatest good for the most number of people, that's what this bill accomplishes.
Spending and some of the spending proposals that have been getting pushed across the finish line here recently, both the Speaker Lear and President Regeer both told me that at this point they think that the governor is going to have to break out the veto pen. They believe we're overspending right now by the hundreds of millions. And we have a balanced budget requirement in our state constitution. Do you think we risk, well, first off, any of that spending that you would support peeling back? And then two, what if we risk not having a balanced budget? Could the governor order the legislature to come back or stay in session to fix it?
Yeah, I'm definitely also concerned about the spending, particularly some of these income tax cuts that are just extremely expensive. Now, I will say a lot of the spending is sort of naturally going down because bills are just dying in the process. You have tax credit bills dying. There is a Social Security tax cut bill. Like it or hate it, that bill was killed, for example. And so bills are dying. I think we're going to be fine. I have no doubt that the governor is probably going to veto bills. You know, he's his own branch of government and has the right to do that. But I will say, bipartisan, we are both working to try to make sure that what we're spending money on is most effective best use of state resources. I do think, though, some of the income tax credits are really where the hit's coming when it comes to revenues to the general fund.
Just a few legislative days left out of the total 90 available. Will you push all the way through the 90, or do you think you'll wrap up a few days early? But I guess that's kind of breaking out the crystal ball. What do you hope to get accomplished with whatever time you have remaining?
You know, my position has been I think we need to stay here until we've done all of our work in the way that is, you know, the best, most thorough work. I don't want to be rushing through stuff so that folks can go home a day early. I would guess, though, that we're maybe going to be here till the middle of next week. But, you know, part of that also just depends on, you know, staff. Like, any time a bill is amended, you know, staff need time to put amendments on bills, stuff like that. So I think we'll probably be here till the middle of next week. But I think we need to be here for it and work as late as it takes to do the job right.
What have been some of the things that have been getting across the finish line that maybe haven't gotten the attention that you think should get some attention right now?
That's a great question. I think we've had some really good education bills that have been bipartisan. So, you know, there was the STARS Act. That's from Representative Lou Jones. That is going to help with starting teacher pay. You know, perfect, no, but a good step in the right direction. But we've also had, eliminating reduced price school meals so that, you know, we don't have kids running up a lunch debt because their parents aren't able to afford their school lunch. I got a bill passed that provides state funding for special education pre-K. These are some of our most vulnerable 3- and 4-year-olds getting critical intervention. We've got a bill up today on teacher mentorship programs. And so I think we're seeing a lot of really good work around supporting our schools, both rural and urban Montana.
Yeah, the STARS Act you mentioned, I know that's been a big priority of Governor Gianforte. Basically, you know, we've had a long-standing problem with entry-level teacher pay. That are entry-level. I mean, I've had friends that have had to take their first teaching job out of state because of our. So how big of a step will that be? How much will that address maybe even our rankings in entry-level teacher pay? Because I think we've been worst in the country.
I think that's going to really help our starting teacher pay. I will say one concern I have is that we also want to keep teachers. So, you know, once a teacher's been there 3, 4, 5, 6 years, you know, they have a family of their own, you want to make sure that they're also going to be that they're not going to be earning less than they will be if they're, you know, working in Spokane or something. And so I think that that's a really good step in the right direction for starting teachers. I think that's going to address a portion of the issues we see. I think we're going to have to look at also keeping our best teachers.
All right. Well, Representative Jonathan Carlin, great to have you on the show. I got to hit the hard break here, but I had a great question come in from Jason in Billings with a question on our Montana Talks app. Representative Carlin, if you don't mind, stick with us here during the break because I'll throw the question to you during the break, and then I'll share it with the answer with our listeners off air, if that's okay with you when we come back.
Yep, sounds great.
Perfect. Yeah, his question is this. What happens for property taxes on rental properties? So let's say you own your primary residence, but you have a rental property. What happens there? I'll get his answer during the break.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
As President Wadad Cruzado prepares to depart Montana State University at the end of June, I was able to sit down with her recently. This was the first question I asked her during our meeting.
What are you feeling right now as we sit down?
Well, it's, what can I say? It's been the honor of my life to serve Montana State. And the best part of it is that every day still feels fresh, right? Like it's the first day in office and there are all these wonderful opportunities, these wonderful people that we need to serve. And so it's a mix. It's a mix of fulfillment, satisfaction, but also at the same time, the same restlessness that the job is not done and we have so much to accomplish.
While on the job, Cruzado increased enrollment at Montana State University from 13,559 in 2010 to 17,144 in 2024. Now, friends, this is just a snippet of an hour-long conversation I had with Dr. Wadad Cruzado. I would encourage you to watch or listen to this entire conversation. You will walk away learning something new, I guarantee it. You can find it by visiting westernagnetwork.com, my Facebook page, Lane Nordlund Ag Broadcaster, or the Linecast Ag Podcasts on Apple Podcasts. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we're going to see if we can sneak in a couple callers here. I know there's folks who wanted to call in and weigh in on the legislative update discussion that we had. And then right after that, we've got some great guests that are joining us in studio. Can you believe it? 1,000 athletes are going to be taking part in the Special Olympics Montana State Summer Games, which is coming up very soon. That's like less than 3 weeks away. So we've got some great friends in studio from the Special Olympics Montana that are going to join us here, guys. They really need some volunteers to pull off this incredible event for all of these incredible athletes. They need about as many volunteers as they do have athletes that are coming. So some guests in studio joining us here in just a second. All right, we had the message on our Montana Talks app. This one came in from Jason in Billings. We were talking about property tax relief. He says, what happens for property taxes on rental property? So, okay, so if you get property tax relief on your primary house, your primary residence, well, what happens if you have a rental property? What happens with that? Representative Carlin told me this during the break. He says, you'll still get a reduction on that rental property. So you'll get a reduction in the property taxes, but that reduction will not be as much as your primary residence. So you'll still get a reduction. It just won't be as much as your primary reduction there. So anyway, I'm glad that we were able to get that question answered, because there's probably a number of you that had that question as well. Susan in Missoula on the phone line. Susan, what's your thoughts on the legislative session and more?
Well, I'm actually quite disappointed, because I get the impression that there's been a lot of angst in the legislators' chambers. And I hope that they're going to get a reasonable property tax reduction, but I am personally not very hopeful, because it sounded like Carlin had a bill that maybe was supported by nine of those legislators that are Republican, plus Democrats, but that's not going to be signed, as I understand it. Is that how you understand it? It'll probably be vetoed by Gianforte.
I think the governor will sign. You know, the governor came out. Yeah, and great phone call. Thanks for the question. And I agree with you on the animosity and the angst in the legislature. I think it's been very frustrating thus far. And a week ago, I was like, holy cow, are they not going to get property tax relief done? Now I'm much more optimistic that they will get something done. And the governor has already supported a homestead exemption, so I think he will sign what sounds like is in the works, that will get delivered. But I think, you know, not everybody's going to be happy, and some people are going to be unhappy with it. That's the challenge with our current property tax system, is no matter what changes you make to it, people are still going to be unhappy, which is why I think we need to fundamentally reform our entire property tax system and move away from a system that is based off of the value of your home. And instead, it should more reflect what you paid for the home. I see it as a tax on unrealized gains right now. But that's going to have to be we the people, I think, are going to have to lead an initiative to fix our property tax system in that regard. Susan, great to hear from you. Let's go to Sean in Big Fork. Sean, did you have some quick thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think this bill they're trying to push through right now is not a reduction in taxes. It basically just takes from one, adds to the other, and probably is going to increase the overall property taxes that are coming in. You know, they say that your rental properties aren't going to have tax increases, but I guarantee you as soon as they do, then people's rent is going to go up because of this bill. We need SB 90 back on the floor, and it's a shame that Sparner walked out on that and it didn't get the blast motion that it needed to get voted on.
Yeah, SB 90, I think that's what Senate President Matt Regeer was referring to. I like that one as well, which is, hey, let's take some of these tourism, hotel, bed tax dollars and put that back in the form of a property tax rebate, relief, whatever you want to call it. All right, Sean, good to hear from you. Let's sneak in one more call, and then we'll get to our great guest joining us here in studio, Nan in Whitefish. Nan, thanks for the call. What's your thoughts?
Well, you're absolutely right about the voter initiative, because I sent you an email with the details, and I also sent an email to a bunch of legislators about a system that's operated in California since 1978 and it was the product of a voter revolt because the taxes were getting so high. So it's a really good system where they roll the taxes back to, well, in that case it was 75, but a couple of years, and your house is only allowed to be appraised 2% per year, and your taxes are only allowed to be raised 1% a year. So it's a very easy formula. It's easily administered, and the legislature keeps passing all this piecemeal stuff about a little bit here, a little bit there. These people get this, and these people get that, and the administration of it is going to be a nightmare. This is very easy, and if they don't pass anything, then I think the voters are going to do the same thing they did in California, a voter initiative, like you said.
Yeah, that may be what it takes.
Right over their heads.
That may be what it takes, some sort of, like you say, call it a formula, call it whatever you want, something that can tie the state's hands, because this current system, it's been a mess since I was a kid in the 1990s. I remember hearing of family friends that were losing their homes because of property taxes and things like that. All right, Nan, great to hear from you. Hey, I'll tell you what, before we chat with our friends here from Special Olympics Montana, you know, I'll tell you what, if you're going to come down and help out, you're going to need some energy, because these are high-energy athletes. They're going to be having such a great time. You're going to be having such a great time. Let me tell you what, if you need some energy and you get the aches and pains from, you know, getting ready for all the fun and games, let me tell you about Power Plus Pain Aid. I got to meet Lee. He's a Big Fork, Montana Marine Corps veteran. I met him back in Washington, D.C. during the inauguration, and he sent me his product. He said, Aaron, you got to try this stuff out. You're a fellow veteran. It's Power Plus Pain Aid. So it's like a small energy drink, you know, like those little energy drinks that you would get at a gas station, except for without all the chemicals. A lot cleaner, a lot more natural. And then it's got pain-relieving natural vitamins in it as well. So you get the energy and you get the pain-relieving vitamins. So that's where you get the power plus the pain aid. Go to drinkpowerplus.com, and if you use the code FLINT15, FLINT15 at checkout, you get 15% off. So check it out. All right, well, let's jump right into it here. We got Tyler Wilchin first up here. Tyler is the co-chair of the state summer games for the Montana Special Olympics. And Tyler, great to see you and your crew.
Great to be here with you, Aaron. We appreciate seeing you this morning.
Yeah, this is very exciting. You're going to have 1,000 athletes, 3-day event, Billings, Montana, coming up very soon.
Yeah, it's a wonderful few days here in Billings. It's the second of a 3-year span of hosting the state summer games here in Billings. 1,000 athletes, 400 coaches and volunteers will travel with them, and then we'll have another 1,000 volunteers here in Billings from our local community helping put these games on. It is a remarkable set of days that, you know, if you need a little soul inspiration, that's a good way to get it.
I was going to say, why did you decide to get involved in the Special Olympics? Because you're, I'm assuming, volunteering to help out.
Absolutely, yeah. So Intermountain Health, who I work for, is one of the premier sponsors. So they asked if we'd like to be involved in the games from a volunteer standpoint, and I jumped on that. And I tell you what, it exceeded my expectations last year, and I'm looking forward to it again this year. It's so great to see these athletes come together to celebrate the community that they've created with their families and with themselves. Also, to just see the pure joy of competition and achievement. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing for the soul.
You said the word right there, joy. That's what you see in these athletes, whether they're competing in a sport or just walking around town or walking around your school. It's the joy that they have that people love about these athletes so much.
Absolutely. You know, growing up in small town Montana, I think you could probably empathize with this too. It's like the prom, it's like the state championship, it's all of that stuff rolled into one, and they just look so forward to seeing each other. And I think the volunteer community that's come around to support Special Olympics Montana is such a special one as well. So it ends up being like a family reunion as well.
Where'd you grow up? You said small town Montana. Where'd you grow up?
Wilsaw, Montana.
Oh yeah,
so,
sure.
Yeah, north of Livingston.
Great town. Yeah, you pronounced it right, too. Yeah,
there's only one way to do it.
That's right, because some people will say Will Saul, but I was told it's Will and Sally, so that's why you say Will Sal.
Yeah, you're an educated man. I like that.
Well, I ran into the judge and the colonel, who's from there, too, so he got me on track very early on. Ashley Walker is with Special Olympics Montana. Talk about how big of a deal this is for you guys.
It's a pretty big deal. I've been a volunteer for 15 years now, and 8 years as a unified partner, golf partner. And it's just very encouraging because, I mean, I work a primary job that can be pretty disheartening at most moments. And then I go to practice and it just turns your whole day around to where you just kind of forget about the bad. And these guys always are positive and they're always happy to see you. And it's just, it's so rewarding.
You got your cool golf shirt on. I should have known you were doing the golf at some. So when you say volunteering, what does that mean? There's got to be all sorts of volunteer opportunities.
Yeah, so I'm a volunteer for the Billings Adults with our program. So I've helped with basketball. I help with I've done cycling. I do golf. I do swimming. You name the sport, I'm usually there to help out in any way. So.
And you've got one of your star athletes here with us today. So coming up right after the break, we'll introduce you to one of your star athletes here with the Special Olympics Montana, all ahead of the Special Olympics Montana State Summer Games coming up May 14th through the 16th. Stand by.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Ashley, so you've got one of our Special Olympics Montana athletes here in the house with us. Why don't you introduce our special guest to our statewide audience here?
So it's actually my golfing partner, Brian Ostaber. We've been a unified golf pair for 8 years this year.
Very cool. You got matching shirts, too.
Yeah.
So is golf your favorite sport?
Yeah. Well, actually, basketball. Golf is pretty fun, though. Whenever we golf, we have zigzag. So we hit a lot of trees at par three, so.
Well, you're better than me. I'm usually even past the trees on the other fairway, so.
Yeah.
What do you like most about the Special Olympics?
Oh, I have a great support system. The walkers have been there for a while, so I know them pretty well.
Pretty tough competition from elsewhere across Montana.
Yeah, I like meeting new people and seeing how they've grown and how I've grown. So it's been pretty fun competing with others. Usually I'm not competitive, but sometimes golf and basketball will do that with me.
Most of us know golf and basketball, but bocce. How does bocce work?
So bocce, they have like three different pairs of balls because like there's yellow and red. There's a lot of balls that are different colors, but the one that you have to try and get to the most is the Plano, which is white. So you have to throw that at a certain distance, and you and your teammate have to try and get as many balls in there to get more points. And if the other team can knock it out, they can do that. So it's pretty fun.
You talked about getting to meet so many great people from across Montana by competing as an athlete. For people that might want to help out and volunteer, tell them why they would have so much fun coming to take part in the games as well.
Meeting new people is pretty fun, and then growing as I do. Like, but obviously, since they're volunteering, they get to grow in that department as well. So, I like learning, and I believe other people would like to learn as well.
Yeah. Tyler, anything you want to say as a special plea to potential volunteers out there?
Absolutely. Well, it's a remarkable production, the State Summer Games. We've got venues all over the city of Billings, from Rocky Mountain College, MSU Billings. We'll go out to Lockwood for the track and field events. Brian mentioned the par 3 golf course will be out there as well. So we need folks in all of those areas to help us stage the games. But you don't need any experience or any knowledge of these sports even. We do the training. We have people that are helping assemble lunches. We have people that are helping out with the opening ceremonies and the dance carnival, which take place on Wednesday and Thursday night. So there's so much going on. You can definitely find a way to plug in that uses your skills and help ignites that passion for you.
Ashley, what's the best way for people to volunteer? Go to the website. Is there a deadline they need to reach? Probably the sooner the better for planning purposes, right?
There is a website, I do know. We're always looking for volunteers, but there's also the option for day of volunteers. So if something in your schedule opens up and you have a free moment, you can just swing by one of the venues and you can just ask if help is needed. They'll find something for you to do. It's just we never turn down free help.
That's right. And that website, Erin, is somt.org. If people want to check that out, there's a link to volunteer right there.
And Ashley, you help out with other things too, like the torch run. So there's other opportunities throughout the year.
Yeah, so there on Wednesday, we will have the final lake torch run is what it's called. It will start at 4 p.m. up at MSUB, and then we will run down 27th Street to the federal courthouse, and we'll all meet there. Athletes and law enforcement share in carrying the torch down 27th Street. We stop in front of Opportunity Bank, which is another sponsor, and we do a picture and get some water before we start our run again. It's just a great time also to encourage people to come out if they just want to watch that. It's a heartwarming moment to really see how law enforcement comes together to help our athletes, and they work together. It's just it's somber, really.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's incredible what you guys all do. I would imagine there's probably some families out there, people who have friends that, you know, maybe they have a loved one who could compete in the games, but for whatever reason, they hadn't thought of it and haven't, you know, taken the advantage of the opportunity. So potential athletes, any advice or guidance for them?
Yeah, I think get involved. You know, go to that Special Olympics Montana website, somt.org, to get some more information about that. And, you know, the other thing I really like about it is it's the promotion of healthy lifestyles, right? It gives these athletes kind of a reason all year long to be training and to work on their sports, to have that community with each other. And so it really does a lot to, you know, further those lifestyles and provide that opportunity for them to plug in with a community and get some achievement, which is such an important thing to all of us.
All right. Brian, any closing thoughts for our statewide audience here this morning? Anything you want to tell folks all across Montana?
Just keep learning stuff. It's fun when you learn new things. If you want to volunteer, it's pretty fun out there.
Very cool. All right. Well, great to see all of you on the show. Thanks so much for your time this morning. Thanks for being with us.
Appreciate you having us, Erin.
Yeah, great to see you. All right. Coming up Friday on the show, Freedom Friday, as we like to call it here on Montana Talks. Right now, the calendar is wide open. So barring some other major developments, we'll have the phone lines open for you so we can take your phone calls. It'll be like an open lines Friday. Plus, a big report. News Nation was in Whitefish, where Border Patrol arrested several illegal aliens. We're gonna have Allie Bradley's report for you tomorrow on Friday's Montana Talks.